thank you for coming to Sunday school today. There's no greater place to be today but in the house of God, amen? Unless the fish are biting and the catching, or somebody got a lot of money to offer us and we wouldn't be here, and are. How many people you think out there doing that today? We do live in Florida, amen? Saying all that, I wanted to open up with it on purpose because I have a lot of friends doing that today. They're not brothers and sisters per se. They're not apostolic, but they're my friends. They're going to tell me all about it tomorrow when I get to work, how great of a day they had yesterday, today. And I hope I'll be a great enough friend to tell them back what I did today. And I've seen people come to the house of God, and I've seen people raise their hands and worship. And I've seen people, maybe we might even baptize somebody today. Somebody might get the Holy Ghost. Make sure you're going to be a good enough friend in Florida to share that with someone. Amen? I'd like to tell you a story I read in the lesson. I'll paraphrase it. But could you imagine the friends that lowered the crippled man through the roof? Most of us have been in church for a while, and I don't want to elaborate on stories that we all know, but it's been a long time since I thought about that story personally, and I got to read it again. I got to think about it but for a little bit. The houses weren't built the same way we live, of course. You know, with the houses we were for were much more of a business in your own home. The roof probably was cut open today, and someone lowered a sick person here before me. We would probably hear a sawzall, a chainsaw, a hoist, a stick of dynamite, you know. Wasn't quite like that back in the day, but the four guys that drug their paralyzed friend, think about that just for a little bit. Well, you've heard it preached. Many of y'all been in church a long time. You heard it preached all kinds of witchaways. But just to tell the story and just to be simple about it, five guys probably grew up in the same community, for what it's worth. You know, I wouldn't think they were stretched miles apart like some of us. How many of you have friends that are far away today, right now? Your friends are far away. But if they needed you, you'd be on the way. It may take you a while and it cost you a lot of money. But just think, we can go back maybe childhood days. Because most of us in our age now, when we grew up, things were just a tad different. Remember, you grew up near your family, probably more than not. You grew up in the hometown where mamas and papas and all were established. You came up and grew up in a community where people knew you. They knew your name. They knew your mom. They knew your dad. Y'all remember them days? A lot of people now are scattered so much. And please, I don't mean to offend you. If you come from homes that are multiple parents now and multiple grandparents, you might have been born in one place, but you were raised in another place for a short period and then raised in another place and then raised again. Well, I wasn't. I was raised in the same hometown. When anything good or bad happened, the word was out. Did you hear what the Durwal kids did? Another one's in jail. Y'all remember them days? Old school. Two or three people standing with a belt waiting to whoop you when you got home. That wasn't even your family. Because they were friends of your family. Close enough. That's all it took. When I was thinking about the story, I thought about it more that way. If we were hometown friends, man, there's a miracle worker in town, and our sick friend might get healed. If we could just get him to the place where this guy Jesus at, we us five could run the streets together again. He's down and out. And there's four in Louisiana. I was going to share, but I was giggling with Brother Chris. Couple of words I wanted to use are not English words. They're Creole words. And it's called a podna. That's Creole for your friend. That's your best. That's your BFF. That's your podna. And the four podnas got together and brought this sick man to Jesus. And he couldn't get in. Place was packed. Probably had a bouncer taking up $5 in the front yard. Cover charge to get in to see Jesus. That was the smart people back then. Give me a coin, I'll let you in. The guy saw probably stairwell to the rooftop of the building, and they knew if they could get to the top, they could open up that roof and send their friend down in there. And they probably went down on top of the roof, and they said, but he's about right here in the building. Listen, you're hearing? We're going to open it right here. And when they opened that rooftop, all the crackling comes falling down. Probably right on top, even some on Jesus. People looking up, what are them boys doing? Knew their names. Knew their faces. This is the community. And they, oh, Lord, look at them, brought the crippled one. What are they going to do? They're going to drop him in a hole. And they lowered him slow. And they put him in the front of the community. Now, when you think of it, again, the miracle side of it is really cool. But what you think the congregation thought of them friends? Just think about it for a minute, because that's what caught me here. Because I've had people look at me different, again, since Holy Ghost days. But wouldn't it be cool to say, look, Keith's up there. He's out of jail and he's on the roof. Huh? Just think about what people think about you. Look what you're doing. He went get that crippled one. Look, they're going to drop him. Oh, they got him down. They never got to come in the room. They'd stay on the roof. They only watched down in the, what you think they're going to do. We done went through all this effort. We done broken these people's roof. Huh? They think they're going to call the police? Boy, better not let it go now. It's going to be a bad day in the neighborhood. Everybody's going to know what they're looking at us. And their friend got up, and Jesus told him, get your stuff, get out of here. You're good to go. It was just that simple. And just to think, how did the paralyzed guy think of his friends? Were the four of them compadres all the time? Did they stick together? Was maybe one of them the fourth one in the bunch? He had just got there. He might have been out of town. He might not have even been around. He might have been incarcerated, just got out. But we're going to get back together. He might have been broke up with his wife and owed a lot of people money. But that's my friends. When he's going down, looking up, who's he looking at? Was it four ministers? Probably not. Four Sunday school teachers? No. They just said they were friends. I don't want to cross too many paths, and I was sharing with a couple of guys earlier. When the friendship conversation is opened up, there's lots of scriptures going to friends in the Bible. My favorite friend is to make friends with those that have mammon. All a few of y'all know that scripture, I could tell. Then you make friends with people that have money. They're surely not going to be in church, are they? Everybody I met in church broke. Praying for blessings. Trying to outgive God and get some more. Meet a lot of church people and they don't want to loan you money anyway because they got burnt by all the other people that burned up going through church taking their money. But just teasing. It's a good thing to have friends with have money. It's not a bad thing. Scriptural thing, actually. It says you ought to have something like that. And I wonder why. Well, probably for hard times. You can have a lot of friends that are close to church. They may not come into church, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Long as you're doing the influence and they're not influencing you, you could still call them friends. How many of y'all are friendly with the neighbors in your neighborhood and they're not ever coming into church with you? Ever. You know they're not coming. For whatever reasons, they're not coming to church with you at all. Y'all neighborhood friends, y'all share food across the fence, share hard times across the fence. You hear them crying, you run outside and hug their neck, but they're not going to darken the doors of the church with you. They know when you're going through places when the people at church don't. They hear you hollering and screaming. That's your husband and wife and your kids, just like the rest of the neighbors do. Ooh, there's trouble across the street again. Let's listen. Them church people really turn it on loud when they go. Bet you they're going to beat them. They got scriptures for beating. Sparing some rod or something. They don't spare that rod at that house. Listen to that whipping. Oh, there she goes crying again. Her son's in jail. Oh, Grady got him. Yep, picked him up again. And there, your best friends will never darken the doors in this church. Jesus made examples of friends in James 15:15, I believe it was. You don't have to pull it up, James. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. When I read it, I remembered being a young man coming into church. And all my friends were older men. The younger men, they didn't have any. Look around now and see how many 25-year-olds are in church. They would be in this class right now. Whole one or two, three of y'all. That's what it was like when I came to church. They didn't have anybody my age. And the men that I was drawn to were much older, like my daddy's age and older. There were elders and the deacons in the church, and they befriended me. One of my own footnotes in the lesson was, friendship is not age sensitive. It's not. You like to think, oh, those older people are taking care of that young person because that's what they do. Older people like that. No, older people really like younger people and befriend them. And vice versa, you see lots of young people drawn to older people. And in this day and time, it's amazing to me how many young children cling to me. And my wife said, they don't, that one don't have a daddy either, and that one don't have a daddy either. And you're the closest thing they could relate to a man and be comfortable coming close to you. I've been in the children's ministry for a while, been in the youth ministry for quite a while, and now I'm with the college and career group, and I see lots of young people that they want to have a male friend. Young men and young women are cut off by men now. I wasn't. I was fortunate, as I've said many times, the men in my life when I was younger, most of them are dead now, and they were my friends. loyal friends. God, dog, you were right. Christian, just let it go. One of my best friends was from Newfoundland. We both spoke a little French. And he was an older man, and he kept the church. Anybody ever made friends with a church keeper? The guy that always was at the church? They actually gave him a room in the church when we built the new building in Georgia. And he lived in it. It was about big as a jail cell. It had a little refrigerator in it. And you tapped on the window just right, and you could wake him up. And he would let you in. We didn't have many keys to share because the congregation was too big. And he could barely speak English, excuse me, where I could understand him. He was a converted Mennonite. He still had his little beard when he came down, no mustache. And he would look at me. His name was Brother Jake. And that man would sit with me, and I could pray as long as I wanted to. As long as I wanted to. I want to get you, let you know this. I came in at 25 years old. How many of you ever heard of Angola State Prison? I didn't get to visit that one, thank God, because you usually don't get out. Angola is a state prison in Louisiana, and they make movies about it because it's one of the hardest places to break out. It's one of the roughest penitentiaries in the United States. And we got to go on a field trip to Angola State Prison when I was 18. Went to all-boys school, and the guidance counselors knew that most of us would probably have a taste of Angola. So they brought us to Angola early to show us what it was like. And there was a man in Angola who spoke to us. He was a prisoner there. And he told us, Brother Lee, when y'all getting out of high school, if y'all could count your friends on one hand. And we went to a small school. I had graduated with 30 people. And we were like this nearly all our lives. And it was unbelievable to hear, once I grew up, if I could count them all on my hand. And I stand to you in front of you now at 56, and I still can't, I don't have a handful from that group of men. I got good acquaintances, and I could probably count one or two that would come get me right now out of this building from Louisiana. One or two. And we were classmates and soulmates for nearly 20 years. All the kids are raised up in an all-boys school. Still no friends there. When I was converted as a friend, the men that took time with me and the ladies were my friends. They knew things I did not know of. I was attracted to them for that reason. How many of your friends know more than you? Raise your hand. Isn't that cool? I thought of it on my own. I didn't take psychology classes. I don't know what that's all about. But I'm drawn to people that know more than me, especially when it came to living for God, because that struck my interest. When people are going to come into our congregation through small groups, they're looking for that through us. When you're going to meet somebody in your small group that does not have a clue about this lifestyle, that does not have a clue about our way, that's a tool for friendship that can hold on to you to forever. Brother Jake is dead and gone now. He fell off a roof doing roofing work. And I remember he stayed alive long enough for us to go there and to see how many people cared about this man. Never married, best I knew, and never had any children, best I knew. And when he died, a part of me, like people say, it was gone. Had another man. His name was L.C. Riggins. How many of y'all remember the great tent days? He was a tent man. A lot of the preachers, which I'll not go into names, but y'all probably sat under the tents and saw L.C. Riggins in your lifetime. When he got older, he stayed in the Atlanta area because he loved the ministry that we had. It was very much like a tent ministry. Once again, another man that never married, and best of my knowledge, never had children. And he was my best friend when things got hard. Did not have technology, and I want to touch that before I wrap up. We did not have technology then, and it's 25 years ago. Technology is increasing by the day, by the minute now. But he knew when I wasn't right. That's a real friend. A real friend does not have to follow you and follow your story to know what's going on. And the art of being a friend has been lost. Just here recently, I had a rough time right here in this congregation with one of the saints because I could see that the person wasn't right. And it wasn't gifts. There wasn't any of the gifts. I mean, that's, y'all know what I mean between the two. Fair statement? Everybody? Yes? You just know. You're friendly with them, you know, they're off. When's the last time somebody came to you and said, Chris, what's the matter with you, boy? And mean it. Gabby, you all right? You're not yourself. That's friends. Please don't hold that against others anymore. It's almost a lost art. When people used to care about you, you knew right on the spot. Now it's a little reserve here anymore because of the way society is now. People don't like to be approached, if you would, harshly. You have to pet them and stroke them. You're going to be okay, boo. But a true friend will snatch you on the side and say, you're fooling everybody else, but you can't fool me. Amen? You are somebody's friend like that today. Take your liberty as a friend before it's too late. Your friends could be your brothers and sisters, not in the Lord, in the family. If you come from a good family, you could still be friends with your siblings. Your friends could be people as co-workers on the job. Your friends could be people right here in church. Don't be surprised if you don't have a lot of friends in church. Okay, this is not a place to make friends. You can be friends here. This is actually a manufacturing facility. You're trying to produce souls in here. Convert people in here. This is kind of a workplace. But it's all right to have friends in here. But this is on holy grounds. It's kind of tough to be friends. Amen? That's why we call each other brothers and sisters, because that's the best we could do. Can't always call everybody a friend. Friends are tough. And again, the man in Angola told me 5 and I'd be good, and he's still right. In my 50s, had to go to jail to find that out. When Jesus told him, hey, I'm not calling y'all servants anymore, he elevated them to a friendship. There's people in our lives that you're going to, one day you're going to say, you know what, you can be my friend. I want you to be my friend. I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to tell you something about myself. I'm going to tell you something that you didn't know. I'm going to bring you up and I'm going to elevate you. And you're not going to be a servant anymore. You're going to be my friend. I don't know how old they will be. I don't know what sex or race they will be. But you're going to befriend someone that high that you're going to elevate them in your life. Anybody had that experience lately? I haven't made a new friend in a while. This one hit me hard. I've had friends, I've had acquaintances lately, but like a real, real bam, I got a new friend. It's been a while. How about you? I don't know if we start slowing down, making friends the older we get or not. I haven't figured it out yet. But think about your last new friend. Been a while? Not the one you just prayed for and God laid it on my heart. Not the one you gave some money because you know there were hard times. The friend. When was the last time you made a friend? Might have been longer than the last time you won a soul. Might have been longer than the last time you prayed somebody through the Holy Ghost. I think that one's for free. That was in my notes. Because I haven't made a friend. I haven't made a friend in a long time. I used to go through friends a lot. How about you? I mean, really, I had a lot of friends, good friends, and they've moved on. They don't want to live for God. One of the key reasons I don't friend them anymore. Another fine line I'll go ahead and throw in here. We're not even supposed to sit at the table with people that don't believe like us, so we got to even be careful who we hang out with and call a friend, huh? Oh, Jesus, that was quieter than I thought. Click, you didn't even amen me on that one. Sometimes it hurts. I do it too. I speak to you, not guilty, but I speak to you plain like I always do. Just think about that. If we got to watch who we sit at the table with scripturally and then who we're going to call friend. My newest friend is a fire stick. I sit with him all the time. Ever since I got hurt, those of you that don't have the technology, don't get a fire stick. And not a good friend. It'll lead you to places you're not ought to go. Faithful friends. How far do you think of your friends? I was trying to give an example of this one. I got in my notes, these are my 3. And I've added more, but these are my top 3. How many of y'all love to eat? God, that one comes right back. Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I like to eat with my friends. And I like to eat hard with my friends, like a big party with my friends. So I can see if they're really my friend. They going to leave me that last crawfish or they going to take it? That last cookie, I'm going to leave that for Brother Keith. Oh, I'm going to eat it. Ooh, only one can left. I think it's mine. Brother Keith don't eat one. They do not offer to go on half. They drink it all. Y'all check friends out like that? I do. Next time we're around eating, yeah, I'm watching you. When we play together, How many of y'all like to play, entertain? I know Debbie does and Larry back there. When y'all playing, y'all like people that cheat? Huh, Debbie, no. Me either. But, you know, when you play hard together, you try to cheat a little bit. Check your friend out. See if they're sharp or not. Some people make up rules along the way, don't they, Debbie? No. I don't know if I like friends that do that too much. But we're going to change the rules now. That ain't fair. I like to play hard. I like the pressure there. Almost like to, like, bet. I'm going to beat you, friend. Just to put them under pressure to see how they act. I got a few of my friends, they hate to lose. It's comical to entertain and play with them just to see them win. They jump up and cheer for themselves. You keep an eye on that. Remember that, because when times is hard and you got that for a friend, they won't leave you hanging. I like to work hard together. That's my top three. When you're under pressure and you're working and your friends disappeared, leaves you with the hand tool. Where you go? We was in this together an hour ago. All my friends work hard. We can't be your friend now. We don't work hard. Well, you could be all friendly with me, but ain't you gonna be my friend? You can leave me hanging in times of need. How about you? You think the same, I know. I like to pray together with my friends. To dial it in just a little bit more. I like to pray hard when things are serious. I have a habit that I made years ago. If you ask me to pray for you and it's the right setting, we're going to pray right now. Just because you asked me and it means that much to you, I want to show you I care. It's a habit. I've been to a lot of pray for me, and they go, uh-huh. Yo, yeah. And when they walk away from me, I wonder, wow. That didn't confirm nothing too much. I don't know if they're going to remember me. I try to remember to pray. I was taught that by a friend. If the setting's right, and if not, the setting's conducive to pray right on the spot, I'm going to pray for you soon thereafter if I haven't even started with my mouth closed and pray right then and there. But when you pray together, it's an unseen feeling. When I come back later and I say, hey, you've been praying for me? And you go, for what? Okay. It's a nice thing when we see each other and you go, hey, Brother Keith, I'm still praying for you. Huh? That's how friends do. You good? They text you just out of nowhere praying for you. They still remember you. That means to them, again, not deep today, but you know where it can go when times is hard. All right, to worship together. I told you guys the other day when I opened up service, a man and a woman that can't touch God, that's a bad place to be. I like all my friends to be able to worship. I like all my friends to be able to pray. It's really great to worship with your friends, to be in the same. Isn't that cool? Even if you got to go somewhere to go to a convention or something, to be together with your friends and to worship God together and to feel the same in the spirit together. That is fantastic. High five your friend in church. That is awesome. Be excited with your friend in church. That is awesome. How many of y'all pray with your friends in church? Now, it's awkward for a man to hug a man anywhere in public and snot and cry and pray like that. And then but when you're friends, you high five, stand back. That's right. That's right. And to serve God together. I like my friends that serve God. Not all my friends serve God. And they're church people. They come to church, you know. But I have some friends that really serve God. They try to do their best when it comes to their relationship with God. That means something to me. Not everybody's equal in my group of friends. I was trying to do all this pin. Your friends won't all be the same. In your circle of friends, they won't. It's not a flat line kind of thing. They don't all get to this level and be your friends. Your friends are mixed along the way. You got a friend that's strong point here, friend that's strong point here, friend that's strong point here. Might have some things in common. But as you leave from here today in Sunday school, it was important because the 12, the disciples that followed Jesus, he befriended them all when he said, okay, y'all not going to be serving, y'all going to be my partners now. That's what we're going to do. This is what the Father said. This is what we're going to do. Y'all good with that? Y'all fishermen good with that? Y'all tax collectors good with that? Y'all boys, it was, I find y'all in the nightclub. Y'all good? Everybody's good. You're going to stay in your house now and not chase women no more? You good with that? Because we got business to do, friends. Amen? Real friendship takes time. And I got about 9 more minutes. And I'm going to wrap up. If I wrap up a little sooner, Godspeed, okay? Be careful. In today's technology and signs and times of the end time, as old school teach, because there's going to be one day everybody's going to be befriended. Remember the old church word was ecumenical? The ecumenical council, how ecumenical things would be, and everybody will all have one, everything. Just be careful on that when you're picking your friends. Is that all right? Just be soft. Just we want to be soft on that. Because there'll come a time when everybody's going to need so bad we'll be desperate for friends that will turn to people that have false doctrines. Most of what we're going to do in a lifetime here on earth in church is replenish the kingdom of God with our friends. That's where our soul winning comes from. It's from our friends. I have met strangers and I have seen them converted, and that's all been great. But most of my good, solid relationships in church and the kingdom of God are my friends and my friendly relationships. As we go out in small groups and befriend people, remember this. You know, a group of 7, that's a good-sized group. A little bit bigger group than that's a nice-sized group. You're going to meet somebody and they're going to befriend you. And somewhere in there is going to be a hard spot to cross, and it'll be doctrine. Everybody loves Jesus that knows him, right? That's what they say. Do they know Jesus like you know Jesus? Does Jesus share with you, and you're Jesus' friend now and not just his servant? Your relationship with Jesus, is it as a friendly relationship as is in the scriptures teach? You know he's our friend that's sticking closer than a what? Y'all all know that. Is he involved in your life enough that you're his friend? How many of y'all want to be Enoch? Remember the people with tears? I did too. I didn't want to die either. Just take me out of here. I'm gone. No pain, no suffering. Step right out of this thing, right into glory. Wouldn't it be awesome to be that kind of friend with him? But in this time, the BFFs that we have that are just like instantly because they liked us and they following us and they hooked up on with us social media, and I have a bunch of friends. That is in this day and time, that's friendship, and that's a real thing. Those of you that are I don't want to put it down. I thought I would put it down, but it's not to put down. It's people are really, I got people on my job that are dating. They're my age that are dating on social media, and I'm like, huh? Oh, no. No, 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 not. I'm too old. You got to look right. You got to smell right. You got to have the just because you got a good angle, uh-uh. When I see you and go, whoo, uh-oh, I thought you was prettier than that. Your picture was. You know, I'm just, that is just not my time. How can we take the scriptures and what we've been taught in church, is still going to be one-on-one. It's still going to be contact. I do believe I could pray for somebody through media and they'd be healed. Don't get me wrong. I believe I could say things and right now and move. And God's spirit would move. But it can't take away, go lay hands upon them. Okay? I don't know how we're going to do that in the day and time. I'm not going to stop God because God's bigger than technology. If he can use technology for his good, use it, Jesus, use it. Okay? But it probably won't be Brother Keith pressing sin. Brother Keith, I want a friend that's going to come and go at my door. That's my kind of friend. you may not want or I like to have that kind of friend. We good? I made that transition all right? That was hard because I used to not think of it that way, and I don't want to be shallow-minded. Because today's technology, I might be glad I have it when I'm an older person and can't get around. Right now, I'm not. I can still get around, and I want people to come get around. I remember a very rare I get sick. I remember Brother Cron teasing me. He said from the platform that, what you call me, the ever-ready bunny? The batteries had finally ran out. I said, Brother Cron then said, that's my friend. Said that from the platform. I said, oh. But we did have a mutual friend at that time that left church and came to my house with his son and walked in, you know what I mean, with all, prayed for me. And I kid you not, it felt so good. I've never had that happen before. I'm usually the one knocking on the door with the oil. But that turned, and my friend came in, Brother Crown, you remember Richard. Richard and Trevor came to my house, and they prayed for me. And I'm talking about the count to 10. I want to get dressed and go to church. Did the power of God hit you? No, my friend came see me at house. They missed me at church. She said, Brother Crown was teasing me. I said, oh, I got to go get Brother Crown for that. Because he's my friend. The things that make us up and the things that mold us here at Grace Point, friends are going to stick through thick and thin with you here. Please do not let go when you get your feelings hurt in church. Because it's going to happen. We're all diamonds in the rough. That feeling hurt was probably polishing your diamond. We don't come here to hurt others intentionally, do we? Amen? Do we? Who was mindful and has already premeditated how mean you're going to be today in church? Raise your hand, because we need to go talk to you in the back of the building. Nobody does that. Nobody came here to be mean today. It just happens. Some of your best friends are going to hurt you and hurt your feelings right here in the house of God. And get over it, okay? Then show them you a better friend. Wow, got out of that one too. Got one more. When we be careful of our quick BFFs and we take our time, and this could have been a whole lesson all in itself, and have a mature friendship for years and years and years and years and years and years and or a year or two. One of my best friends came from a tool and die shop. Amen, Brother Click. He used to be a mill man himself. And the guy was as mean and ornery of a man. Anybody know mill workers at all? Tool and die guys? I figured you'd raise your hand. They work in their own little bubble, and you couldn't mess with him at all. And we was always picking fun and tease. And he wore a crucifix on his neck. He had milled it, made it himself. And he was just so hard to get along with. So I went up to him one day at work. I said, man, why you wear that crucifix? And, of course, what's it to you? Was his answer. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. I'm already committed to being religious. And he already committed to being mean. 30 minutes into the conversation, it tilted again. And we had revival at church for like a week and a half. We had been having church, and I invited him to church, and he said he would come. My mouth dropped open. Now what? I was working outside that night in the ministry with the ministry team, and the guy said, hey, there's a man, and the place is packed. There's a man that just came in looking for you. His name is Leonard. I was the tool and die guy. And I said, really? He said, yep. He wanted to sit with you in church. And guys, I no more thought that man was coming to church. You know, like passing out flyers and tracts back in the day. Ain't nobody going to come to church. We had to put him in the front row because we're out of seats. Way to go. Put him in the front, the devil himself. I need to stop what I'm doing to go sit with it before you knock somebody down. Because it was one of them kind of revivals, hooping and hollering and running. We had a singing gospel group in there, and it was turned up, dialed high every night, those kind of services. I walked in, and there he was. I could see the back of his head. He wasn't a big man, and he was in the front, and then he disappeared from my sight. Power of God had hit him. I walked up through the crowd. I'm pushing my way through. I'm looking, talking in tongues. What's going to happen at work tomorrow? Only thing I could think of, what did I do? He came up and picked me up, spun me around. You know how men do in church, right, when they get the Holy Ghost. He set me down, hugging, high-fiving me. He goes, this is the greatest thing I ever had in my life. We became really good friends. When I walked into the tool and die shop, it wasn't like ever before. He only lived 3 years. And I found him dead in his house. 3 years. And of the men that were my friends, he was one of my greatest friends. So never let age, creed, sexual origins, there's no time on friends. You could make a friend today and it'd be going tomorrow and be the best friend you ever had. Let's all stand. Lord, thank you for our friendships that we have in here today. Thank you that you're our friend above all friends. We ask you, Lord, as we go to the next service, that you be with us in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Thank you.